Rabbi, so let's begin. A few short things. I want to speak about today a few short ideas relating to the machzor, to the nusach ha'tfilah. Okay, the first thing let's discuss about when we daven on Rosh Hashanah, we daven, the musaf is broken into three parts: malchios, zichroinos, and shofars. These three sections of the musaf remind us of three major yesodos and yados. What are the three major yesodos of yados? Malchios is the recognition that there is a God, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and He is the Melech of this world. Zichronos, the major theme of the Zichronos, they have to, even though Zichronos means remembrance, when you read through the section of the Shemona Esrei of Zichronos, the theme which comes out is Hashkocha Pratis. This really goes back very much to Sefer Eif. It's not just enough to recognize, to be aware, to acknowledge that the world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also have to be recognized, you have to be aware that there is Hashkocha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything that our forefathers have done, that we have done, and He's constantly adjusting the world based upon our deeds and our anhaga. That's second. The third part of the Shemona Esrei of the Nusach HaTzvila is Shofros. The major thrust of Shofros focuses on Matan Torah. Time of Matan Torah. Matan Torah was accompanied the Shofar Gadol Asher Lo Yosaf. The Shofar represents the call of Torah, which is infinite, which goes on forever, and that is the Nusach HaTzvilah. You'll pay attention to the various psukim. That is the major thrust of Shofar. So the Sach HaKol, the Nusach HaTzvilah, there are three sections: Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros. These are three Yesodos in life. The awareness that there is a Creator. Number two, there is Hashkocha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not created the world and disappeared. He did not wind up the world like a watch, a clock, and disappear and let it just unwind by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the daily events of this world. That is Zichronos. And the third part of our avodah is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, Asher Bocha Arbonim Mikol Ho'amim, V'nasan Lanu Es Torah, so has given us the Torah to use as a blueprint, as a guide, to live our lives with these two yesodos, the recognition that there is a Borei Olam, and the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the daily affairs of this world. Right. That is why these three things are put into the Nusach HaTzvilah, because these three sections, these three machshavos, are essential for every living religious Jew to fully absorb in his daily life, especially on Rosh Hashanah.
What is the difference between Hashem in his role as Kel and Hashem in his role as Melech?
I don't know.
Because like we change the nusach and everything.
Hashem is known as many roles: as Kel, Elokim, Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem has many names, and each name represents another attribute. Okay, we have the Yud Gimel Midas Harachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates us 13 different attributes of mercy. Hashem has many different dimensions, but these are three concepts. These are three major concepts which Chazal very much wanted us to focus on Yom Nirom, because for every religious Jew, this is what life is all about: HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkocha Pratis, and Torah. Because a person can make a mistake and forget about two of the three things. A person maybe where there's a God. But there are people, we learned Sefer, that was the very great challenge of Eve. Is there, maybe there is a God, there was a creator, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just not involved in what happens. Everything that happens is all based upon mazel. Hashem is like a clock, it's been wound up. No, you have to realize that there is Hashkocha Pratis. Now that is enough for a non-Jew. A non-Jew also can believe in God and being and Hashkocha Pratis. But a non-Jew has no obligation to mekayim mitzvos. Klal Yisrael as a nation has the obligation of shofros. Part of the avodah is we have a higher standard. We have been given the Torah, which is capturing the concept of shofros, so we have to observe. Okay, let's go to another guy. This is a very interesting idea. We are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. A lot of the svarim, they try to bring out what is the difference between the first day of Rosh Hashanah and the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So the idea that is the terms that are used are dina kosha versus dina rafia, a harsh din versus a soft din. In the eyes of Chazal, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a very strict, demanding judgment. Every person is presented in front of the Bet Shalmala, and they look at every little detail, every single deed, machshava, is assessed, is brought before the Bez and Shalmala. And so, as we could all imagine, 99.999% of the population fails miserably. It is impossible to survive the judgment that we go through on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, what's called Dina Kosha, harsh judgment. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind and gave us a second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is called Dina Rafia, soft. It's extremely easy to get away with murder on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Very well. This is all Chazal. This is all okay. All this Dina Kosha, Dina Rafi. That's why today, even though we are Bikim Bikvir the Yarachanim Eretz Yisrael today, we still have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. There are a lot of, these are very mystical concepts. Some actually give it names, just like if anyone here have the experience of saying Tikkun Chatzos. If you say Tikkun Chatzos, this Tikkun Leah and Tikkun Rachel. There are certain days of the year where you only say Rachel, you don't say Leah. You only say the first, you say the second, if not the first half. Because the first half is harshness. And the second half is light. Leah, the Ene Leah Rakois. But Rachel, Hoysa Yifas Toy Yifasma, Rachel is Mavake Albonecha. Leah is associated with harshness. Rachel is associated with softness. And there's actually, I don't know if this is a joke or this is serious. We always say is that one of the most mispal for and Yom Leram, then mispal for Shidduchim. There are some people who have to travel to meet their wives. They hear about a girl, this incredible woman, and they travel to the other end of the world to find her, or vice versa. Some women, they go, they hear about a boy, they go and they travel to meet. And there are some people who they go nowhere, and the shidduch comes to them. Leah didn't have to go anywhere. Leah, how does it go again? Leah. Oh, so Rachel is all the way around. Rachel, Yaakov went. Yaakov worked for Rachel. Yaakov went to Rachel. Yaakov traveled to find Rachel. Leah was brought.
Rivka was brought to Yitzchak.
No, but not Rivka. Let's talk about Rachel and Leah. The difference between Shidduchim, between Rachel and Leah. Leah was brought by Lavan to Yaakov, whereas Yaakov traveled. He worked to acquire, to marry Rachel. Any person whose shidduch is in the form where he is going to search for that shidduch, that is, they say, I don't know if this is serious or this is a joke. It sounds serious to me. Anyone whose shidduch is in the form where he has to go and seek out his shidduch, it's decided on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Because the second day Rosh Hashanah relates to the bechina of Rachel. Anyone who just sits home and a shidduch comes to them, it's presented to them, the shidduch is brought to them, like Leah was brought to Yaakov. Lavan just took Leah and brought Leah to the wedding and said, Yaakov, here's your wife, too bad for you, whether you like it or not, this is your wife, and she got the simanim. That type of zivug is decided on the first day, because the first day is Leah, the second day is Rachel. The haftorah of the second day is Rachel Mavaka Albonecha. Kol Baram Nishma, Rachel Mavaka Albonecha. That's the haftorah of the second day. Why? Because Rachel represents the concept of Rachamim. That during the time of Galus she will be mispalel, and indeed we will return to Eretz Yisrael. The first day is Dina Kosha, the second day is Dina Rafia. Now let me give you two other examples how this is illustrated, two other ideas which are not commonly known. If you take a look, we have over here the Baal Tzvila, our in-house Baal Tzvila, Rabbi Kohn. Our own Yisrael, Rabbi Kohn, the second day Rosh Hashanah. Do you daven Musaf, of course.
Yeah.
You daven Shacharis also? Just Musaf. When do you say the piyot in your kehila of Lekel Orech Din on the second day Rosh Hashanah? What? Well, let's let an answer. This is the expert. When do you say it?
Right after. No, there's no piyutim before that. Toward the middle of the.
What?
It's in the middle of the.
You don't say the pit of Lekel Orech Din. There's in some shuls they say it during the second day Shachris, and some kilos they say it Musaf. So what's your custom? You do Musaf. The second day you do it in Musaf. In Kingsway, what do you do it?
We switch by a drum.
Yeah, switch. That's
the first
right.
First
day,
maybe?
First day Shachris.
No, the first day it's always the first day.
It's always
Musaf. No, forget it. First day is always Shachris. Second day is Musaf.
No. The first day is standard. Wait, good luck.
No piyutim.
Give me 1 second. I have your machzor. Let's take a look.
No piyutim on the second day at all.
I have here a machzor. Oh, okay, that's all thing. Okay. No, it's Shachris. The first day it's Shachris. Lekel Orech Din is Shachris.
First day Shachris. Second day
Shachris.
Second day.
Right. The first day by Musaf.
Right.
Musaf at all. Right.
They want to give the chazan something.
Exactly. So the Kel Orech Din on the first day is always in Shacharis.
Uh-huh.
On the second day, there are two customs. And some, in the Machzor, they printed in both places. In the art school, they it's all very confusing. In the different editions of art school, where they print Lekel Orech Din. Many shuls have the custom of saying Lekel Orech Din by Musaf.
Uh-huh.
For one reason only. Because Shacharis is too long.
Right.
Because on the second day, it's a very, very long Shacharis. It's a very long Shacharis, and if you also have Lekel Orech Din, it's going to be even longer. So therefore, some people they've taken Lekel Orech Din, which is one of the Ikur Piyutim, and they have transferred it to Musaf on the second day. Other, what?
Must be a better reason than that.
And they put it to the second day. That's the basic reason that's given. Others say that no, it doesn't belong there. It really belongs to Shacharis. Now he over here explains, Rabbi Tesner explains, before we get into the idea I want to bring out, he explains, the reason for the Machlokes is, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara, at what time in the day does HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge man? Does Hashem judge man during the first 3 hours of the day? Or does HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge man during the second 3 hours of the day? When is the moment of the Yom HaDin? So Rav Tesner suggests, I don't know if it's his own idea or he's quoting from other sources, that is why there's a difference between the first day and the second. The first day, L'Kel Aruch Din, means God who arranges judgment. If you say it during Shacharis, as we do on the first day, you're indicating that the Ikur judgment, the judgment is taking place early in the day, during the first 3 hours of the day, according to one opinion in the Gemara, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. In the second day Rosh Hashanah, when we say Lekel Orech Din, Hashem arranges judgment during Musaf, we're following the other opinion in the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us during the second half of the day. Okay, that appears to be very common. Many shuls do that because they want to have it balanced. They want to balance the davening. They don't want it to be too long during Shacharis. You want it balanced, so it's very common to take it out. However, many bedachtikim said it's wrong. It's only supposed to be during Shacharis. And this touches upon a very fundamental understanding of what the difference between Shacharis and Musaf. If you look very carefully, there are other examples of this. We don't say all the piyutim. When is the ikur moment of judgment, ikur tefillah? The Ikur Tefillah on the Santogim is always during Musaf, but which is the Ikur Tefillah of the day on Rosh Hashanah? So some want to suggest that there's a difference between the first day and the second day. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Ikur is Musaf. Shacharis, you just polish off. You just get it done. There are piyutim, of course. But don't focus on Shacharis. Just get to Musaf already. And Musaf, kvetch, 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 sweat it out for Musaf. And indeed, there are all the piyutim appear in Musaf. The second day Rosh Hashanah, the Iker Tefillah is Shachris. Musaf Pala, just run very, go 1, 2, 3, you don't say Misoy, they know Piyutim, and therefore Adraba, Lekelarach Din must be only during Shachris, because that is the Iker Tefillah, and Musaf is bare bones, it's going to be empty. Why? What's the difference? It all comes back to this Yisod. The first day Rosh Hashanah, it's Dina Koshe. It's a harsh din. Something that's harsh takes a very long time. There's delay. There's a lot of details that have to be gone through. We all know when a person has to go to a doctor for some type of medical procedure, you're always asking, you're always, first thing in the morning, you always want it right away. But something has to go on for many, many hours, something that takes a very, very long time, that is an indication that we have a lot of preparations we have to make. There are a lot of procedures. There are a lot of things that have to be done before we can get to where we need to go. When you add all the piyutim into Musaf and you dwell on Musaf, that's an indication we got a problem here. There's a lot that's going on in heaven. A lot of things have to be arranged. A lot of lawyers have to be present. A lot of advocates have to come. A lot of briefs are presented. A lot for the judge to read. And it's like Inui Hadin almost. The judgment is not going to be executed until you reach the end of the day, until you come to the time of Musaf. That's the first day Rosh Hashanah. Because the first day Rosh Hashanah, it's very difficult. It's a very severe din that's taking place. We don't know how these things, Dina Kasha. And Dina Kasha, we need to pull out the big guns. We focus on Musaf. The second day Rosh Hashanah, it's Dina Rafia. 1, 2, 3. Come, you'll be the first one. Come 8 o'clock in the morning, you'll be out. You'll be out. We'll finish you off in 5 minutes. We'll rubber stamp your documents, and you'll be on your way. 1, 2, 3. It's Dina Rafia. It's soft. It's soft. We can finish you up very quickly. We put all of the heavy stuff during Shachris. With Musaf, we just run through very quickly. It's a fundamental difference between where is the Iker Din. Therefore, even though the Davin is not going to be balanced, we're taking Lekelar, we're going to keep Lekelar Din in Shachris, because that's where we want to put the din on the second day. We don't want to go in and bring it to Musaf. Okay, there are different customs. Where I daven in Kaimah for many years, and they switched. They actually switched. They used to do it during Shachris. They used to do it during Shachris, and in recent years, only the last 5 years, I think. I don't know why.
Who pulled the switch?
I don't know who pulled the switch. I think someone told me the Bali Tefillah were fighting it out. That's what I was told. I believe it. There were two Bali Tefillah, each one. Each one wanted it. Each one wanted it. Each one felt that it belonged, and they switched. It was like a chiddush. You know, they're doing this for so many years. Chodosh asam inatar. Okay, so now I'll give you another example. This is the custom that we've never seen. Rabbi Tezni quotes this custom. Where does the Baal Tekeh blow from? In most of our shuls, the Baal Tekeh blows from the bima. Right? It's unheard of to blow from the bima. But guess what? That's not the way it used to be.
Right.
It used to be on the first day Rosh Hashanah, you blow from the bima. On the second day Rosh Hashanah, you blow wherever you're sitting. Wherever you sit. You heard this?
Yeah. I read it in the Minig Yisrael and
that's the way it used to be. The Makri would come to the person. The Makri would call out from the rabbi would call from a shtender. He would call out wherever he is. He would call out to Kia and the Baal Tokea wherever he sits.
I grew up anyhow hearing it in the place where he was. In other words,
During Shmoneh Esrei,
the Baal Tekeh blew wherever he was.
I went up for the main Tekeh. Always up to the beis.
Yeah,
okay, so he seems to call Rav Teshner. Even the main Tekeh were blown from wherever the Baal Tekeh sits. The Baal Tekeh has a seat. He sits in the back. That's where he sits. So that's where he sits. That's where he blows the shofar from. What's the pshat? Why is there a difference between the first day and the second day? The difference is the first day, it's a dino kosher. We're in a lot of trouble. When you're in a lot of trouble, you gotta take extra measures. You gotta come forward. You got to make a good presentation. You come to the bima. Coming to the bima is a way you're showing the tzibur, we're in trouble. We better make a proper presentation to the Ribbono Shel Olam and be mispal for our lives. So in a chnam, it would be an afkamin. Everything has changed. So where would the Sefer Torah be on the second day? Very good point. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. What do they do on the second day with the Sefer Torah? They kept it on the beam. They probably still kept it on the beam because they wanted the Zechus Torah to be present. But at least the Baal Tokeh would not come forward. Because why? Hashem can hear you wherever you are. Right? You can daven. It's a form of rachamim. Person who is in a lot of trouble. So where does he go? He goes to the Kosel. Right? He goes to the, I'm going to the Kosel, to daven. I'm going to go get on a plane, go spend $2,000 to go to Eretz Yisrael, to go to the Kosel, because I want my voice to be heard. Yeah. I want to make sure Hashem hears. And let's say it's no emergency, so on my way to work, when I'm sitting on the subway, on the Q train, on the right side there's an African American, on the left side there is a Mexican, and in front of me there is who knows what, and I have in the middle a Tehillim, and I'm shuckling and saying Tehillim, Hashem can hear me. I have to go to the Kaisel. I don't have to go to the Kaisel. I can sing Koyach HaTfilah I have by the Kaisel. I can say, well, I'm on the subway, surrounded by people. What's the difference? Hashem has the same. It's a different. So there is the truth is there is no difference. But yet, it's a different presentation. When you're really serious, you go to the Kaisel. When you're relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite mercy, and all right, I'm doing my part, you can do it wherever you are. That's the difference between the first day and the second day. The first day is Dina Kosher. Dina Kosher requires extreme measures. Go to the Kaisel. Okay, you can't go to the Kaisel in Rosh Hashanah, so at least come to the Bima. Stand in front of the Sefer Torah. Stand. The second day Rosh Hashanah, it's not our custom. It's Dina Rafia. You show the Olam. Don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Rachamon. Wherever you are, whatever Avera you've done, it's okay. He'll forgive you. He'll take care of you. He'll get you through. Wherever you are, you call out to Him and He'll answer your Koyach HaTzvila. This theme carries through in many, many different ways. In the difference between Shachris and Musaf, in the difference between the Shachris and Musaf, the difference between the way you stand during the Tkiyas, even in the Simonim, when do you eat the Simonim? Say, well, the Yehiratzons, the first day. The first day is they're different minhagim, but most people only go to these extreme measures the first night of Rosh Hashanah. You know, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, many people, they go to the main shul. Wherever they're going to be davening Shabbos, in the morning they go there. And they go there and they come home, a long suda with all of the hirat signs, and you see all these tefillos. The second night, I'll daven by the local corner shtibu. I'm not going to go to the shul where I'm davening tomorrow morning. And most people that I don't know, I can't say everyone, they don't do the hirat signs all over again. They don't go through the whole process of why? Because the second day is a much more relaxed attitude. It's not just relaxed because you're burnt out. That's not the issue. You're not because you're burnt out. It's a different form of judgment. Some want to say the first day, when we say Dina Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the big picture of things, the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah is also Yom Din for the Umos Olam. They don't know about it. They're going about their merry business. They have no idea that a kol b'nei olam even lefan of k'vnei morom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging. Will Mashiach come this year? Will there be world wars? There's the big picture. How is this year going to be in the big in history? Will it play out?
Is there an Indian then? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Is there an Indian then that we as the Jewish people should be spreading the word to the non-Jews that the calamities going on in the world may, if they were to act a little better, just on Rosh Hashanah?
I don't know.
Just a second.
Like, I don't. We don't see it being done. I don't know. I don't know.
Not there.
We're supposed to be in Arl Amen in a subtle way. In a subtle way. We live. We're not. I mean, there are different Ashitas, different opinions. How far we should go? We're not a nation that tries to convert people. That's for sure.
No, but I'm saying if they're being judged too.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Maybe the judgment would go better.
It's a tough call. You see different groups of people, Lubavitch, they're very much into going out into the world and spreading the name among the Goyim. They're very big into that. very, very beginning thing, Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Melech HaMashiach's primary role is to be for the nations of the world. Yeah, you find many other communities, that's not their derech. They're insular. Get a life. And they hold, concentrate on yourself, and the Mela, by concentrating on yourself, it's natural that there'll be a magnet. They're going to come. Look, here's a very fundamental question. Why is it, Chazal, why is there galus? Why we have, so that we should go out to the entire world and collect all the nitzotzos of Kedusha. All potential gerim will join us, and all different forms of koichos that are in this room will be channeled for the purpose of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, what would have happened if the Beis Hamikdash would not have been destroyed, and the whole Klal Yisrael will be living in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael? So how would the people in China and Japan and the United States and in Scotland, how would they know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How?
Internet.
What?
Internet.
They wouldn't. I don't. Okay, it's not the same. How would they know about it? So Chazal say it's like a magnet. If Klal Yisrael was living, the Kiddush Yisrael was so powerful, it would have a magnetic force, just like in the Olam HaTeva, there's a magnet which draws things towards it. In the Mela, they would be pulled towards Yerushalayim. Because we've been weakened, we don't have that magnetic force. We have to go out. We have to go out. So many Gedolei Yisrael feel it's not our role to go and focus on going spreading thin. Focus on yourself. In the Mela, you'll have that natural magnetic pull to bring people inside.
Okay. I guess I'm saying from a sense of like...
Yeah.
Rachamim on the American people, for example.
Yeah.
If we know that our neighbors, are very kind to us, are all being judged very harshly on the first day, and on the second,
they don't believe
they
us.
Have things like national days of prayer,
they don't believe us. They don't take us seriously.
They have to know about it. Organize two national days of prayer.
I don't know the answer. It's a hashkafic issue. There's no clear answer. It's Mr. Blatter.
Yeah. On the first day, it's judgment.
Yes.
But not decision.
Why do you say that? We don't know how these things work. Yeah.
Judgment.
Yeah.
Second day reverses.
Well, that's what Yavas Harsim made true.
That's what have. Yeah, that's what have. Then you'll
flip. Okay, Tashlich. When is the day of Tashlich? The Iker day of Tashlich is the first day, and it's not the second. Let's say you miss on the first day. Do you go on the second day?
No.
Not really. Nothing special. The second day versus the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. If you blow it, you blow it. Why the first day? Din Akasha. The Tashlich also relates to the harshness of Din. The harshness of Din requires extreme measures. It's not just Minhagim. You have to look at the Minhagim and relate it to the first day. The second day, the first day is Rachel. The second day is Leah. The first day is Leah. The second day is Rachel. Where is the Rachel buried? Where is on the road? On the road. Where is Leah buried? Maris Machpela. She's been Mekomo. It's like the shofar. Where do you blow the shofar? The first day you blow the shofar, Maris Machpela. You blow the shofar in the bima, in the primary location. The second day, where do you blow the shofar? Wherever you're sitting, on the derech. Just like Rachel Mavaka Al Boneha, out on the road. All of these things, they all tie together. Dina Kosha, Dina Rafia. Okay, two of the quick short things I want to conclude with. The second is very important. So not even know ties into what we learned in Mishlei. There's a beautiful thing called piyut called Misoid Chachamim Unevayim. You only say Misoid Chachamim Unevayim Umilem Das. That's Mevinim only on the Musaf on the first day Musaf. Why don't you say Misoid on the second day Musaf? Because there are no piyutim in the bracha. Lekel Aruch Din, even if you say you don't say it during the first three brachas. Lekel Aruch Din is said after Mechayim Esim. The introduction Misoid Chachamim Unuvaynim Umelamedaz Zekeinim is an introduction. Is asking permission to be mafsik in the middle of the first bracha to recite piyutim. Therefore, on the second day, there are no piyutim that are recited on the second day during Musaf. since there are no piyutim being recited, there's no purpose in asking permission to open up your mouth, to asking permission from Kadosh Baruch Hu to open up my mouth and recite things. L'may nafkami is a very interesting thing. L'may nafkami, you know, he makes a nice, very big issue about this. He says there are many people, there are many communities, or there are many like minyanim that are made, like basement minyanim for people that are not well or in hospitals, where they recite zero piyutim. Right? Yeah, there are such things. If you're not reciting any piyutim, many people still make a mistake and they think the shots, at least like during, let's say, Musaf the first day, or during Shacharis, they say Misoid Chachamim Unuvainim Umilamed Azaken, because this is the big letters in the Siddur, the Archers and big Grois Oisiois, and it looks like it's part of the Nusach HaTfilah, even though the Tzibur does not say it, it's only said by the Shliach Tzibur. So many times it's said, even though you're not planning on saying any piyutim, if you are davening in the minyan, where they have decided, the powers have decided, that there will be no piyutim recited at all during the first three brachos of Shmona Esrei, then you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to say Misoid Chachamim Unavodim Milemes Dazakein. That is a no-no. It's a hefsek, because what you're asking permission and then you don't do anything, so it defeats the purpose. And by the way, what are the three different titles? Misoid Chachamim Chochma, Unavodim Navon Bina, Umilemed from the teaching Das Chochma Bina Das. Just like we had in Mishlei, those three always go together. Melech HaMashiach, Bezalel, Achiram, and Shlomo, all of these through this pattern of Chochma, Bina, and Das. It's a series which we always find going together. One other very quick thing, I heard this from Rabbi Kahn. He made a very nice point explaining that there's a mistake that crept into our Mechol Ma'amidim to Nusach HaTfilah. So how do we sing the Chol Ma'aminim? We say, we start, each section starts with the Chol Ma'aminim, Shu Kelemuna, Ha'boichin Uvoidek, Ginzei Nisteros, period. All the Nigunim are geared, are trained on that sequence. And then the Shliach Tzibur says it, then we say the next one, the Chol Ma'aminim, Shuhu, Boichin Kloyos, Ha'gom Moves, Ufodim Ishochas. That is a mistake. It's a mu'uvis she'eino yochon liskon. It cannot be repaired. It's not the way it was meant to be said. The way it was meant to be said was the shliach tzibur, and you look at it, it's so obvious, but somehow this mistake crept into our machzor. The way it was meant to be was the shliach tzibur, he calls out to the tzibur. He says, Ho'oiches biyad midas mishpat. That was only meant to be said by the Shliach Tzibur. The Tzibur responds, V'chol aminim. Yeah. We all believe, we're all believers. V'chol aminim shehu kelamuna. That's all they say. Then the Shliach Tzibur goes to the next statement. He declares, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is haboichin uboideik Ginzei Nistorois. That's how it is. And the Tzibur responds, V'chol ma'aminim shu boichein kloyois. Now, how do you know that? Because if you, the way we say it, when the Shliach Tzibur says the proper way and the people answer, there's almost always a clear relationship between the theme, between what the Shliach Tzibur says and our response. Okay, take the first one, look at the second one. Aboichein uboideik ginzei nistaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspects the secrets. Where are the secrets? In our kidneys. Because the kidneys are what provide Eitzah. The kidneys are always used in the Chazal as the part of the body which provides counsel. V'chol ma'aminim shu boichein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspects the kloyos. Because in the kloyos is where the root of planning. Look at the next one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is goyel. The Moshe Tzibur says, Hashem is goyel mimodes ufoide mishachas. And then what do we say? That's right. V'chol ma'aminim shu goyel chazak. We respond exactly to what the Shliach Tzibur says. Next. The Shliach Tzibur says, Hashem is don yichidi. Hashem is the judge, the single judge, Leboy Olam, the sole judge, Leboy Olam. So what does the Tzibur say? That's right, we believe. V'chol ma'aminim shu dayan emes. It makes perfect sense. When the response is v'chol ma'aminim, when we respond to what the line before, it makes perfect sense. And also, you don't have an orphan at the end. Because if you do it the way we do it, you do it the way we do it, so you come, you have this nebuch at the end. It's always awkward.
And you have two scars.
Rabbi Cohen, is it awkward to say that last part? It's an orphan. It's an orphan. The Shliach Tzibur has to make up a niggun and somehow mumble it in order just to get. It's a nebuch.
They stop after a while. It
depends what you do, but it's a real nebuch. It's a nebuch case. It's not meant to be a nebuch. It was the last thing he was. Hatom, the Shliach Tzibur says, Hatom. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Tom, Umitameim Im Tamimim. And then we respond to Chol. The Tzibur says, that's right. We second that. All of us here in the group, the entire Tzibur, the Chol Maminim. We're all believers in the statement that you, the Shliach Tzibur, made, Shu Tamim Pa'alo. Tamim. It's a proper response, and there's no orphan. And the first one as well, the Shliach Tzibur begins. Because also, the first is also an orphan. The beginning of the Chol Aminim is an orphan. He starts off, many of the Shliach Tzibur, the Tzalkein HaMishpat, HaMelech HaMishpat, Hoicheiz, B'yad Midas Mishpat. It's an orphan, but that, it's, no, there's no Neshima Achas. Who is it in Shema Achas? I talk about HaMelech HaMishpat V'Oicheiz B'yad Oimim B'Minsham Achas. Okay, you're right, it says that. It says that, but that's not the way it was meant to be. You finish HaMelech HaMishpat Poischin Ha'orayim and then the Shliach Tzibur begins. I want to make a statement, Rabbi Isai. I want to declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King, he's the Melech HaMishpat. Can you say it together? He's the Melech HaMishpat, who is Oicheiz B'yad Midas Mishpat. And then we respond. The Tzibur says, that's right. V'chol ma'aminim shu kelamuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of faith. Now what's the difference between kelamuna and midrash mishpat? A little bit confused and has to be understood. But you avoid the problem of the orphan in the beginning and the orphan at the end. And 99% of these expressions make perfectly logical sense. It is a proper response. If for some reason, the printers, they blame this on the printers, they got a little bit confused and they put things out of order. One last thing, Aleinu, we close the Aron when we say Shehem Mishtachavim Lehevel. We close the Aron when they say Shlosam Chelkeinu Kohen V'Goraleinu Kuchol Hamanam. Why do we close the Aron HaKodesh? So Rav Tezner has a beautiful piece in this thing, says it doesn't make any sense. Just because we say Shlosam Chelkeinu Kohen V'Goraleinu Kuchol Hamanam, we have to close your own Kodesh right in the middle. Not fair. What's the problem? I'm not saying anything terrible. So he says, because originally everyone, today it's becoming more popular, but originally the original Nusach was Shehem Mishtachavim Lehevel Varikum Mispalim El Elo Yeshia. Even that would not be a cause to close the Aron HaKodesh. It's because they used through the custom, they would spit. Lehevel Varik. Varik. They would spit. And Mimela, it's not their cheretz to spit in the presence of the Aron Kodesh. So that's why they close. Now the problem with that happened is that the Goyim, the censors, they came along and they took it out of the Nusach HaTfilah. Because they interpreted in reference to Yeshu. Lehevel Varik. Varik is the same letter as Yeshu. El Elo Yeshia is Yashka. But also, Varik is the same gematria as Yeshu. So people start, even though the Lena was written way before Yeshu came on the scene, it was written reference to different types of Avodah Zarah in by Yeshua and Ochan. But people started attributing, making up new things and started attributing this to referring to Yeshu, and the censors didn't like this, so they took it out. by threat of death. It was taken out, and many people at Hayamazda, they still do not say it anymore. Some say that you shouldn't say it, you shouldn't say it, because once it became tradition by our forefathers not to say it, it would be an insult to our forefathers to start saying now. If they didn't say it, Rav Moshe says, if my father didn't say it, my grandfather didn't say it, I'm not going to say it. Oh, you'll tell me, but this is the original version. It's right. I'm asking if it's the original version, but I'm not anymore. You don't want to put down your parents and your grandparents, especially not in Rosh Hashanah. It's not a good thing to put down your grandparents. They didn't do it, so I won't do it, for better or for worse. So many people still don't say it. If you don't say it anymore, there's really no reason. There's no reason anymore to close the Aron Kodesh. So this, that we close the Aron Kodesh in the middle of Aleinu, is a carryover of an ancient minhag. Another thing. Kairim?
Yeah, middle of
so there are different customs. Oh, yes, yes. So you
they closed the Aron Kodesh because of Kairim.
Why? But the Adarabba,
you Adarabba,
you should have it open. Adarabba, you open up the Aron Kodesh and you fall before.
It's open.
You do know that part, it's open. You do come with the Aron is open. Karm is a machlekes. When you say the silent Shmon Esrei, quick other issue. So machlekes apoiskim. When you say the silent Shmon Esrei, do you bow? Vanachnu koidim u'mishtach modim. Do you bend down? You don't go on your knees, but you don't go on the floor, but you bow down. What's the issue? You're not allowed to add to the Hashtach Avos. So some say it doesn't apply, because here this is explicit. Since this is part of the Nusach Atila, and you explicitly say, modim, so you'd be a liar if you would not bow down. So this is an exception, and you should. Nene Gedol Yishol said that you should bow down during the silent Shmon Esra when you say, like you do during the Leinu. Other poets can say, no, you should not, because you're not allowed to be Moisef. And when it says, you're not referring to what you're doing right now, you're referring to general. And generally speaking, throughout the year, you always bow down in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't mean that you're bowing down at this very moment. It's like wearing tefillin, like saying Kriya Shema. If you say Kriya Shema and you're not wearing tefillin, you're being made Eidah Sheker. So how are you allowed to say Kriya Shema on the morning of Tisha B'Av when you're not wearing tefillin, you're being made Eidah Sheker, or at night? It doesn't mean at this very moment. It means later in the day.
How could the Chasam make Kriya?
They have him help him. They have people help him. What do you mean?
If you say you don't put extra items in,
yeah.
So how could the Chasmus be Korea in the middle of Korea?
Yes, so maybe that would be the same issue.
That shows that
it's a different type of Shasta.
You make a very good point, because his Amida is connected to the Amida of, I didn't think about that. It's a very good point. So the fact that he's doing it shows that it's not a violation of any extra Shtachamos. That's a good point. It's a very good point. Okay, but there are different customs. This is a very popular question. A very popular question. It's interesting that in the article Siddur, it always gives you instructions. It tells you, Baruch HaTov Hashem, bow, bow.
Many,
and when it comes to the middle of Aleinu, they don't give you instructions to bow down. So people want, maybe I'm not supposed to bow down. Is anyone watching? Is anyone looking what I'm doing? Don't worry, no one's looking. So most poskim are of the opinion that you should bow down.
I want to ask them why they didn't put it in,
because they were sitting on the fence.
I don't know why.
Oh, they put some people do this, some people do that.
This does not give you instruction. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah.